Anyway, what do you guys want?
There's a source over General County that tells us that there's a whole rat's nest of illegal shit going on over at Creep.
Like what?
Like a slush fund.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars of unaccounted for cash.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars? Any comment from Creep?
Yes, unavailable for comment. They're not talking.
Well, what else beside the money? Where's the goddamn story?
The money's the key to whatever this is.
Says who?
Deep Throat.
Who?
Oh, that's Woodward's garage freak, his source in the executive.
Garage freak? Jesus, what kind of a crazy fucking story is this? Who did you say?
He's on deep background. I call him Deep Throat.
Look, McGovern's dropped to nothing. Nixon's guaranteed the renomination. The Post is stuck with a story no one else wants. It'll sink the goddamn paper. Everyone says, get off it, Ben, and I come on very sage, and I say, well, you'll see, you wait till this bottoms out. But the truth is, I can't figure out what we've got. What else are you working on?
Well, we're after a list of Creep employees.
Where is it?
It's classified.
Well, how are you going to get it?
We haven't had any luck yet.
Get some.
Hey there, this is Kimberly Johnson, and I'm here with Stephanie Walton. Hey, Stephanie.
Hello.
And we're gonna be talking again with Claude Taylor today, and we're excited about it. His Twitter handle is True Facts Stated, all one word, True Facts Stated. And if you're not familiar, we did interview him on June 7th of this year. He has friends in the intelligence community as well as people in mainstream media, and they tell him things, and then he shares those things on Twitter. So Stephanie and I are big fans, and we like to follow him, and we talk about him often, right?
Yes, we do.
And so we're looking forward.
He's our go-to, if you
yeah.
will.
Yeah, I mean, he helps to keep us sane. And aside from sharing, you know, what he hears, I think that it's important to note that he also does his best to keep up morale. You know, there was one instance when Trump was at that G20 summit, and I just felt like I was getting punched in the gut several times that day, and I was losing hope. And, you know, Claude wrote something, and I don't remember what it was, but I commented with my doom and gloom, and he came back and he had something positive to say. And, you know, and after I talked to my mother, who also, you know, kind of gave me some pep talk, I felt a little better. So he keeps morale up, and he makes some really great points, as well as sharing, you know, what he gets from his friends. So we're just gonna start the show with Claude. Claude is here. Welcome, Claude. Welcome again.
Hey, nice to be back.
Yay!
It's great to have you, Claude. You are, you know, Kimberly said it. You do keep morale up. And what's wonderful about following you, for those of us who are, you know, manic from day to day about what's going on, the information that you provide is good information. And then you throw in a little, keep your eyes on the prize, resist. And I got to tell you, I feel day to day like this is a battle that, you know, sometimes we aren't going to win, and then you come through with something that ends up being true because someone in the community told you so. And then all of a sudden it's a pick me up. And so I want to thank you for that. And, you know,
well, you're very, and I may have said this last time I was on, I apologize if I did say it before, but, you know, we are in a war.
Yeah.
And in a war, morale is important. So, I make no apologies for trying to bring folks some of the positive news that I can. And that's not to say that there isn't negative news, you know, like you mentioned with the G20, but almost always there's positive news that can be brought forward to balance it out.
Right. I want to ask you a question right out of the gate. You know, here, the meeting, and we can just refer to it now as the meeting because everybody knows what we're talking about.
There, you know, I prefer to refer to it as the spy meeting, but go ahead.
The spy meeting. The eighth person was revealed yesterday, and this guy is a money launderer, a known money launderer. Can you talk to us about, oh gosh, you know, how this whole thing plays out and just kind of, I don't know, drill it down so that lay people who aren't connected with the intelligence community can process this information. Because if it's me sitting on my couch looking at Twitter and listening to Rachel Maddow, I feel like this is good news. It's terrible news, but it's good news in that maybe we're getting closer to some resolution on this and people going to jail. What do you think?
Well, to understand this meeting, you really have to put it in context of at least just the last 5 or 6 days. You know, it started out as being this innocent little get together where, you know, Doc Jr., bless his heart, was so concerned about those poor Russian orphans.
You know, those babies.
Those babies, save the poor babies. Please, Jesus, save the babies.
And please.
That's all this was about. And then it turns out the Russian lawyer is a known Russian agent, does work with Russian intelligence. And then it turns out that there's another individual who's a known FSB agent. And then for several days, well, there was an eighth person, but he was just a translator. Hmm. Well, the translator turns out to be an infamous money launderer.
Yeah.
I've been in Washington for a long time, and in a previous life, I worked with translators. I don't believe any of them were money launderers. But no. Like I've said, you know, maybe that's because I was a Democrat.
Yeah.
But so you really have to just, like, you know, we've had this, as, you know, Chris Matthews on Hardball likes to say, we've had these rolling disclosures.
Yes.
What turned out to be this innocent little meeting now it turns out to be a meeting with at least three Russian agents, mm-hmm. meeting with the three top people in the Trump campaign, the son of the now president, the son-in-law of the now president, and the president's then campaign manager, Paul Manafort. So you have the highest level of the Trump campaign meeting with not one, not two, but three Russian agents.
Right, and then and lying about it.
Now we're starting the next phase of these of the rolling disclosures is, what did Trump know? And when did he know it?
Mm-hmm.
It's just on Twitter in the last couple hours. I've been retweeting things. It's clear from a speech that Trump gave I want to say on June 7th. The meeting was on June 9th. Is that correct?
Yes, June 9th.
On June 7th, Trump gives a speech where it's really clear,
mm-hmm.
he knows he's about to get some dirt on Hillary provided to him from the Russians. Mm-hmm. Don Jr. had just finalized the arrangements for the spy meeting at Trump Tower a few hours before Trump Sr. gave the speech on June 7th. It's very clear with Trump's management style, his hands on everything. He would not send his son-in-law and his campaign manager off to meet these Russian agents without knowing what was going to happen, what did happen, what was delivered, what both sides were expected to do to keep their ends of the bargain.
Mm-hmm.
And so then what, I mean, obviously, you know, this means X is going to happen. I don't know how long it's going to take Mueller. I don't know how long it's going to take the Senate. So is there any way, do you have any idea of how this unfolds? And then, you know, like, what happens to, you know, how does this dribble down to Mike Pence and Paul Ryan?
Right.
You know, I'm not quite ready to go down to Mike Pence and Paul Ryan on this aspect of the larger investigation. I was told, about 24 hours ago from a source with knowledge of the Mueller investigation that this meeting has become one of many focal points of the investigation. So anybody that can be interviewed is going to be interviewed. That's going to be harder with Russian nationals than with American citizens. at least one of the Russian agents is now actually an American citizen, so he can be legally subpoenaed.
Right.
So we're going to learn a lot more about this meeting than we know now.
So last night. Oh, I'm sorry. Continue.
We're going to learn a lot more than we know, but just based on what we know, you know, gone are the days where Trump and his cabal can claim that it's all fake news. Mm-hmm. Gone are the days where he can claim it's all some sort of
witch hunt
figment of the left's imagination. You know, we have it, you know, from Don Jr.'s own emails that this spy meeting took place and that what it was concerned with primarily was delivering dirt on Hillary Clinton to the Trump campaign. That was the purpose of the meeting.
And that a memo was left behind, supposedly. And last night on Rachel, she said that Mueller's team has known about the eighth person and who and his identity since before it was, you know, that information was shared with us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I do have faith, and I think you've said it, and Kimberly, you say it often, you know, we've got to have patience. Mueller and his people know what they're doing. I can't even imagine the information that they have that they're not yet sharing. But in terms of having patience, not one of my strong suits. Claude, do you know how much longer? I mean, can you even take a guess? You know, last time we spoke with you, you said he is going to be out of office 12 to 18 months from now, or maybe from inauguration, but just rest assured he's going bye-bye. Do you have any idea how long we're going to have to wait before Mueller and company come out guns a-blazing?
I really don't. You know, like all of us, it's going to be longer than we'd like.
Yeah,
right.
You know, it's so important that Mueller gets this right, and he is getting it right.
Yeah.
You know, and in terms of what Mueller knows versus what we know, I mean, you know, we don't even know the tip of the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
We know, my gosh. All of us, even those of us who do from time to time, who are privy to some inside information, you know, we know so little.
Yeah.
I mean, do we know 5%? I doubt if we even know 5%. You know, so if you look at it from that perspective, there's so much more that's going to be eventually revealed about the nature of the arrangement and the relationship between Trump, the Trump campaign, and the Russian government, the Russian state, and Russian intelligence, and Vladimir Putin.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a question, and I'm going to kind of double my question with Colleen from Twitter. And she wrote, is Mueller safe from being fired by 45, or has he at least found a way to save the investigation if he lets it go? So you had mentioned on Twitter a couple of days ago that, you know, you were hearing that Trump may be letting, or, you know, obviously Trump can't fire Mueller himself. So it would be another version of the Saturday Night Massacre where he would have to get Rosenstein, to fire him. And if that doesn't happen, then it goes to Rachel Brand. If she doesn't fire him, eventually he's going to have to find somebody to fire Mueller. So, A, have you heard anything more about this whole Mueller thing? And, I imagine that you know the answer to this, and I think that it's clear that Mueller would have in place some kind of alternative, something alternative in case he does get fired.
Right. Well, let's back up for a moment just to when Comey got fired. It's very clear from when Comey was fired that Comey had prepared for that eventuality, and the handoff to Mueller was pretty seamless. Given how Mueller came into the job as a result of Comey being fired, of course Mueller has prepared since his first day on the job for his own firing, which, sad to say, is, in my view, probably inevitable. I don't want to get too much into the weeds on how Trump will ultimately fire Mueller, if that is what happens, as many people believe. There, you outlined the Saturday night massacre scenario, mm-hmm. which is one scenario. Another scenario, I'm told, has to do with them simply rewriting the rules on how one can fire a special counsel, and that can be done more or less, from what I understand, on the say-so of Jeff Sessions. So there are ways that Trump can fire mm-hmm. Mueller. You know, he is going to have to overcome some really what are just administrative roadblocks to yeah. accomplish that. But he can do it. When he does it, you know, we're going to be in a whole. First of all, the Mueller investigation has his name, but it doesn't rely on him. Mm-hmm. It is now in the hands of a number of prosecutors. It's a broad, vast investigation that does not rely or does not rest on the shoulders of any one individual. He's had time to prepare. He came into office knowing it's likely that Trump will attempt this. So since day one, I am sure they've had a plan in place for how to move forward without him. So I'm not hopeful. I'm not looking forward to Mueller being fired, but I do think at some point it's fairly inevitable.
Hmm. You know, I want to ask one more question. Because, okay, Elaine asks this, and I kind of want to, again, add a little to it. She says, what's the update on the Schneiderman and Rico? So aside from Mueller, Schneiderman is doing an investigation. And can you know, from what you know, what can you tell us about that?
Well, from what I know, here's what I've been told. And again, I have a different source, a New York source, a well-placed source within the legal community who knows two people who work in Schneiderman's operation. And here's what I've been told, that this Schneiderman's investigation is more of the into the entire Trump organization than it is into Trump personally. Mm-hmm. Schneiderman is approaching the entire thing as a classic mafia family right. investigation. And his intent, from what I've been told, is that he intends to disassemble the Trump organization, not just decapitate it, but take the entire Trump organization apart. This will probably take several years.
Yeah.
It is being done under the purview under the auspices of New York's the state version of the RICO statutes, which has a different name in New York State, but you can think of it as the state RICO laws, and those laws have absolutely draconian penalties attached to them. In particular, it will allow Schneiderman to seize assets to the Trump organization. So literally, Eric Schneiderman at some point will be in a position to seize Trump Tower itself.
Wow. And I didn't make clear, but that's the New York Attorney General.
Yes.
I'm sorry. That's the New York Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman. And part of that is we haven't mentioned when Trump when the poop really does hit the fan. Just in case this is a family
you
show.
You can say anything you want.
You know, what will happen with pardons? I mean, we can go back to that if you want, because
yes.
you know that's it's kind
yes.
of like a you know, but one of the beauties of Eric Schneiderman, the New York Attorney General, is he can he can reindict just about anyone who is pardoned under with state charges, and those are completely separate from the president's pardon power.
Wow, so I didn't know that.
None of these guys are going to get, even under the worst case scenario, where Trump tries to pardon a bunch of people, you know, his son and Flynn and Manafort, you know, some of whom, you know, we believe Flynn is a cooperating witness at this point. You know, he can try to isolate himself by using the pardon power, but none of that will affect Snyderman at all. Hmm. In fact, it might compel Snyderman to try to indict some people who are going to be swept up in the separate federal Mueller investigation.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot's been thrown about. You know, Ted Lieu doesn't let a day go by where he's not calling for the yanking of Jared Kushner's security clearance. And now that we're talking about family and picking the family apart, and taking the whole organization down, you know, Ivanka is now having a light shined on her. And today, 22 House Democrats sent a letter to Andrew McCabe, the acting FBI director, saying she needs to have her security clearance looked at as well, because she filled that out falsely, as Jared did. Why is this? Why are these people still in the White House when they have clearly lied over and over? I don't understand how legally there's not something in place to get them the F out of there. Mm-hmm. My life is in danger, I feel, you know, sometimes with these people in place.
There's absolutely no justification for having Jared Kushner, who has repeatedly lied on his SF-86 form, which one, you know, I remember many moons ago when I had to fill out an SF-86 form, and I remember sitting through a briefing where this very stern FBI agent lectured a small group of us and said, do not omit anything. We can forgive a lot, but what we won't forgive is if you omit or lie now. And so it was really clear. It was crystal clear how serious filling out that form was. And you know, Jared Kushner treats it like a dry erase board.
Yeah,
correct.
You know, he's just
exactly.
Like, oh, I mean, you know, initially he didn't remember a single foreign contact. And after, I think, 3-4 revisions, he's now remembered over 100. How do you go from not remembering a one to remembering over 100?
Right. And he remembered over 100 very recently after the meeting came to light, after the spy meeting came to light, but he still didn't put the Russians that were in the spy meeting on his latest revision.
Mm-hmm. Excellent
point. You know, so I guess, I mean, we're outraged, of course, but this is all gonna come into play. And is this the kind of thing that if Washington does nothing about it, and I say overarching Washington, but if the politicians in Washington do nothing about this at the federal level, can Snyderman come in and kick his ass over this?
I don't think so. No. I mean, I think this is more of a federal within the White House, you know, procedural. You know, I mean, in the White House I worked in, you know, I would have been under investigation. I would have lost my security clearance. I would have been escorted from the premises. If not actually, I would have faced arrest. I think almost anybody. And I mean, this is why just generically speaking, we have anti-nepotism laws, you know, which supposedly the federal government does.
But with all of them in charge, no one's doing anything about it. They just get to continually commit basically crimes and get away with it.
Yes. I mean, it's not a perfect system. Unfortunately, you know, the people in charge are in charge. There's a certain amount of self-enforcement built into the system. And that's something that obviously needs to be looked at once we get rid of this crew.
Yeah.
You know, I want to ask, you posted about, you wrote return, it was a Russia and USA tweeted out, "We need an unconditional return of Russian property in the U.S. Otherwise, retaliation measures will follow." So you took that to mean that, that they might release some of their compromat. I'd like for you to go into that, but I want to ask you, and this is not something that I think would bring Trump down, but I think many of us are salivating. Do you think this would bring about the PP tape or something else?
Sorry.
You know, so what we're talking about here is the two spy compounds, one on the eastern shore of Maryland and one, I want to say, in New York State.
Yeah.
I'm more familiar with the Maryland one. But so the return of those two compounds is, it's not, I mean, they're just physical structures. They're not of, and they've been stripped of any, you know, equipment or, you know, anything, any intelligence value. But what they are of extreme PR importance, extremely valuable to Putin. He wants to be able to say to the Russian people is, I forced the American government to return our compounds to us. It's just an enormous public relations victory for Putin.
Yeah.
And it's not one that any other president would ever consider doing except Donald Trump. I mean, these were spy compounds where, you know, a lot of the trolling that was being done was organized out of a lot of the actual logistics of how Putin worked with the Russian intelligence agencies to help determine the winner of the 26th election. A lot of it was done out of these compounds. I mean, some of it was, you know, we don't really know how much. So just symbolically for us to even consider returning these compounds to the Russians is just unconscionable. And it's equally by the same token, it's equally important for Putin to have them back for their symbolic importance. It will be a real victory for Putin. And Trump is bending over backwards to try to make it happen. And that is just such a tremendous loss of prestige for America and for U.S. sovereignty on the world stage. It is utterly reprehensible that a U.S. president would consider giving these properties back.
Well, I'm sure you've been watching Rachel, and the list of what Russia wants and what Russia is getting continues to grow.
Right.
And so, do you know if there is in fact a tape, a PP tape?
You know, I mean,
I know that's not going to end everything, but we're all just so curious.
Oh my God, I pray for it.
I mean, if you go back through the whole long sordid history of the Steele dossier, you know, at this point, I think he's about at 92% accuracy.
Wow. So more than likely. Oh, I just hope we can see it.
You know, and if there is no PP tape, then every intelligence source that I've had since last September, maybe, is wrong.
Wow.
And
I don't think that many well plugged in folks are wrong. You know, I have not seen it. We don't have, I mean, if I had it, it'd be on YouTube.
Me too. Yeah.
Or I don't know, or Pornhub. I mean, take your pick. Pornhub, right.
Hey, how do you know about Pornhub?
What's Pornhub?
Oh my. So, let's see what else. We've got a couple more. Oh, here, Mr. Sneller says, do you expect to get a heads up before any of the big stories hit WAPO, New York Times, CNN? So you've tweeted in the past that CNN and Washington Post and New York Times may be sitting on stories that or the story that there is direct proof that Trump himself colluded. So what can you tell us about that?
Well, I certainly hope to have some, you know, advance warning. I mean, I've gotten a pretty good insight into what CNN has. Mm-hmm. I think several of us who are kind of playing in these waters, working in these waters, have gotten a very strong sense of where the Washington Post is. They're the ones that, according to all of our sources, the Washington Post is the ones that have the smoking gun, wow, if you will. You know, they have something that is so, so irrefutable, that it will put any ambiguity completely out, you know, completely, wow, to the side. It's like,
so it'll shut Newt Gingrich up.
Well, yeah. I don't think anything will ever shut Newt Gingrich up. Perhaps a massive coronary, but But, you know, so that's what, you know, a lot of people, including myself, who have had media sources, intelligence sources, say it's the Washington Post to watch. It seems like the New York Times is, you know, churning out stories at a pretty good clip.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I mean, that's really one thing that's changed over the last month, is that we finally have the mainstream media finally engaged. You know, if you put, you know, 25 New York Times reporters on a story, I mean, they're going to find stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
it's what they do.
Yeah.
Yes. And they do it well. And so that's one thing that's really changed over the last month or two, is you've got all these major media organizations finally committing major resources to the story, rather than, you know, kind of just holding the story off at arm's length and saying, you know, yeah, mm-hmm, we haven't seen anything. Now they're all really working the story.
Wow.
No, that's the kind of stuff that gets me through the day right there, Claude. Yeah. You know, Claude Throat.
Oh, yeah, Claude Throat. Do you like Deep Claude or Claude Throat?
Oh, I don't know. That's the first time I've heard it.
That took me and Kimberly about 3 seconds to come up with. So, and talk about Pornhub. Hey, you know, featured video. I like Deep Quad personally. That's my pick. But yeah, if you find it offensive, I'll stop immediately.
I think I like Deep Quad better.
Okay. Yeah. Quad Throat sounds kind of crude.
DC.
DC. Okay, let's see. Now, let me see this. I just like this guy's name, so I'm going to ask his question just because I like his name. It's Hugh Jassel. Hugh Jassel asks, can Trump pardon everyone, including himself? We already answered that, so I just needed to say Hugh Jassel. Okay, so now Mueller has okayed Junior and Manafort testifying before Senate committee. Is it likely he already has the info he needs about them? So what do you think is going to happen when they testify? I mean, do you think they're going to be pleading the fifth all over the place? Or are they going to forget everything? What do you think?
I'm sorry, we're talking about Manafort and who?
And Junior.
I think it's much more likely that Manafort will plead the fifth than Junior will. Huh. I think Junior will largely fall back on just being an idiot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll hear a lot of "I don't recall."
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, like we heard from Sessions.
Correct.
Yeah.
Wow. Here, Patriot Chimp says, "Do you have any?" Bob's laughing, by the way.
Your best names ever.
Do you have any Republican friends who give you a sense of hope for a functional bipartisan America after Trump Russia?
Sure. You know, I am definitely in the minority here. I've never known so many Republicans until I got involved in all of this. I've been a partisan Democrat since I was nine. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't know Republicans. I mean, like, literally never. Now I'm like finding myself at going to dinner with Republicans, going to barbecues with Republicans, getting text messages at 2 a.m. from Republicans. And, you know, some of these people are, excuse me, some of these people are every bit as concerned about what Trump has done and the state, and even more concerned about the state of their own party than we are. And I do believe that there are decent Republicans out there. I do believe that there are Republicans of goodwill who are hoping that Trump takes a fall. There's not mm-hmm. as many as like. There certainly are far fewer elected Republicans, you know, stepping forward and stepping up than we would like. But I think, you know, you can see with this healthcare debacle. I mean, a big part of the reason why the Republicans on Capitol Hill have tolerated Trump up to this point is because they thought he was of some marginal utility when it came to passing their agenda.
Right.
He's demonstrated his utter worthlessness when it comes to helping them with any serious legislative effort. Mm-hmm. He's demonstrated his utter inability to even comprehend the legislative process. So, I mean, to a large degree, the Trump and the establishment Republican Party was a marriage of convenience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The establishment Republican Party came along late and unwillingly because they thought they could get their stuff through. But if they can't get their stuff through with Trump, you know, they have very little reason to support him. I mean, the only reason left is their fear of Trump's base, which is real.
Mm-hmm. Well, they haven't consummated that marriage of convenience yet, so they might as well just annul it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, let's just finish this up. I think it's interesting, you know, he hasn't done anything to help them further their agenda. Healthcare, you know, let's just repeal it. Let's repeal it and replace it. Let's do it in the same day, maybe the same week. Hey, you know what? Maybe the same hour. You know, I mean, the guy is just a douche from the word go. He has no idea what he's doing. And I'm sorry, I wasn't going to say that,
you
but
could say anything you
I
want.
Find it so maddening.
It's not
so
family
so
friendly.
This healthcare thing is going to have I would imagine a huge effect on the 2018 elections. Mm-hmm. And all sorts of stuff is people are popping up and people are aligning themselves and Democrats, if they can get it together, are gonna really make a big difference in 2018. And Claude, yesterday I think it was, somebody wrote to you, would you ever consider running for Congress?
Oh my God. No, I miss that. I'm sorry. I miss a lot of stuff that people write to me. I'm sorry, I just don't. The answer is no. I would not.
Yeah, I get that question too, and I have the same answer. No effing way.
No effing way. You know what's the Sherman-esque statement? If nominated, I would not accept. If elected, I would not serve.
Yeah. I
don't think I quite got Sherman right, but you know. Whatever Sherman said, that's what I'm saying.
You kind of make me feel, you give me that hope that I said I was going to bring up Randy Bryce, but my God, you know, this is, you're a hero of sorts. And I'm not blowing smoke. I mean it. You know, you've got however many approaching 200,000 followers on Twitter and we go to you for, to get information and to be kind of talked off the ledge, so to speak.
Yeah, talked off
I don't
the
know.
Ledge
I don't. I didn't think it was a crazy question. I was like, yeah, Claude, I'm ready to donate $25 to your campaign. Where do I click? Yes.
Well, see, what I'm afraid of, and this is the doom. This is where I haven't heard an answer that satisfies me yet, because I don't believe there is one. But with all of this ignoring what happened in the hacking and absolutely no investigations being done, I'm so worried about 2020, because I think that, you know, I mean, look, the polling was pretty much right. Hillary was supposed to win, and she didn't. And I think you can argue all day what her flaws were as a candidate, but the numbers that, you know, her popular vote compared to his and the states that she lost in, it's all very sketchy. And I believe that the polls were accurate. So that said, you know, we were all kind of looking at things from this one vantage point and not including how the Russians were going to affect it. So I think that when there is, you know, when people are excited about 2018, I don't rush to that, because I'm so worried that once again, we're going to deal with, you know, the Russians are going to learn from what they, from their mistakes last time. They're going to improve on their successes and improve on what they failed at before. And what do you think, Claude? I mean, do you have any thoughts on that? Because I'm very scared about 2018.
Well, I think we all need to be very scared about that. The fact is, Trump isn't doing anything to provide Putin with a disincentive not to do it again. If anything, for all we know, with Trump's private meetings, they may be planning exactly on how to increase their efforts.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mean to be, you know, hyperbolic, but I'm very concerned. I mean, you know, we're all out on Twitter every day, and we're battling, you know, bots and all kinds of evil nasties, you know, that appear to have been just, it's 2016 was it's not like they stopped.
Right.
It's not like November, the election like was over and the Russians stopped. They didn't.
Yeah. They're still going.
Of course.
And it's going to get worse.
They're still out there on Twitter. They're still out there on Facebook. They're still pushing fake news stories. They're still pushing disinformation. You know, it's an ongoing threat, and we don't have a president or a commander in chief willing to stand up to it. If anything, we have a president who is complicit in it. So I think you have every right to be concerned. I am.
Well, that said, I mean, obviously, we're not going to be able at this point to control hacking, but, you know, I think the best thing that we can do is try to spread the word on how important it is to vote, and perhaps overcome whatever efforts, you know, their efforts as well as the Republican efforts with whatever smear campaigns they have in mind, voter suppression, gerrymandering. I mean, we literally have to come out in numbers too large to ignore. And hopefully, hopefully, you know, with such a horrid person in the Oval Office, we have a lot of people paying attention. And no matter what you think of Bernie Sanders, which I'm not going to even go into at this point, he did wake up a lot of young people. And, you know, Hillary Clinton woke up a lot of young people as well. So there are new people who are paying attention. And, you know, when we have a good, comfortable president, it's really easy to ignore you know, voting and civics and all of that. But now that we have this horrible man in office, more people are kind of waking up and realizing how horrible he is. So I'm only hopeful in that way. But aside from that, you know, I'm not sure how we're going to survive this. And that's what keeps me up. I mean, there's all the other crap that he's doing that's really scary, dismantling our democracy. There's just so many different things that are happening, but, you know, the EPA and all of that. But it's the voting that's, you know, we need to somehow, you know, I want the Democrats to get on that as fast as possible. And it really sucks because they're just in the minority right now.
Right. But the awareness of it is very important. And you're absolutely right. You know, going into 2016, we just didn't have the awareness to realize how vile and how complicated a plot Russian intelligence had and how successful it was going to be. But now we know. We can defend ourselves to a much greater ability, to a much greater extent than we were able to previously. So
there's a bright spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the resistance is strong. I think, living in California, pretty much everybody's a member of the resistance, but and if you're not, you're just keeping quiet. But
yeah.
I do believe we are better equipped now. We're aware. We weren't aware. We were all sitting there just as shocked on election night as the next person, watching the polls and then watching Nate Silver's blog just blow our minds. And as the states, as we were losing where we were supposed to be winning, or she, that isn't going to happen this time. Yes, we're still under attack because nobody's saying anything to the Russians. Nobody meaning President Rancid Velveeta, that was a name I just came across. But we are going to have, it's going to be a different day in 2018.
Oh, hell
and
yes.
When I was, it really truly is. I know it's still scary. I know it is, but I'll Pollyanna this thing out. I feel like we are going to not sit back as we did last time. I called for on behalf of Hillary in the primary, and I called for the general election, and I talked to people all over the country in states like Ohio and Pennsylvania and Michigan. And you know what? I'll try to get to my voting place. I'm gonna try to get out there because it wasn't do or die to people at that time. This is do or die.
This is do or die.
Yes.
Anyway, sorry.
I'm gonna ask you one more thing before you go. But before I do, I want to remind everybody who's listening that if you like the show, you can become a monthly subscriber and you can just sign up for $1. That's $12 a year, $1 a month, or you can pledge $5 a month. And that's going to get you access to And Another Thing, where Stephanie and I talk after the free show. And, aside from that, you can pledge anything you want if you want to help out indie podcasters. So there's my little commercial. But, I'm going to ask one more thing before we start to wrap up. And that's I believe it's your pinned tweet. You wrote, direct quote from a member of the IC, which is intelligence community. Many of us consider Trump to be the greatest threat to our national security since the end of the Cold War. So you're hearing this around, I assume, right? So this is telling me that even though the intelligence community is going to do what they need to do, I think there's also a feeling of he's assaulting our democracy as well as saying such disparaging things about members of American intelligence.
Yes, that was a signal text I got literally this morning.
Wow.
And it was just a word for word quote. It was just, I'm just going to say that, that, I mean, that I'm not interpreting it. I'm not like spinning it, that's what I was told. That was a direct quote.
That's heavy.
But it's also a very, I think it's from what I can tell from the different sources I've had, it's a pretty widespread feeling. It's a representative, that quote is representative how the intelligence community writ large sort of feels about Donald Trump at this point.
Well, that gives me some more hope.
Well, they're out there and they're doing everything they can to back up Mueller, to provide the information, to provide the resources. The international intelligence community has been phenomenal. When the history of this is written, it's going to be what really jump-started this whole thing was 6-8 months ago, right after Trump won. The intelligence agencies of a dozen countries came forward with intercepts, with banking records, with all kinds of physical evidence. that they had on all kinds of Russian money launderers tied to Trump, all of Manafort's dealings. I mean, we had the intelligence community of Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Argentina, Israel, Portugal, Germany, the United Kingdom, Poland, Estonia, Lithuania. And I'm not even, you know, and there's more, but those are the ones that I can think of off mm-hmm. the top of my head.
Yes, I've remembered you tweeted about them.
The intelligence community, the intelligence agencies of all of those nations contributed something to this, and wow. in some cases contributed a lot.
Wow. I think you even mentioned Germany twice.
Did I?
I think, well, yeah, like yes. because I guess they've provided quite a bit, and I just want to throw out that I'm my grandmother was Lithuanian, so woohoo.
Yeah, who?
My understanding is that Germany has just provided so much and had so much information to provide mm-hmm. and did provide. So they deserve a double mention in that list.
Woohoo. Well, yeah. God, thank you, Claude, first of all, for what you do.
Yes.
I know you have a lot of critics, and so thanks for staying strong among the critics and among the bots and all of that. And then also thank you for being on the show. We love having you. It's so interesting to hear your insights. And, you know, just, again, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, a pleasure, Claude. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up now. So once again, you can, if you want to hear Stephanie and I going on. Oh, and don't forget to follow Stephanie at Lady Brain Show and Claude at True Facts Stated on Woo! Twitter. And if you want to hear Stephanie and I continue talking, it's just going to be us two. You pledge $5 and you'll get access to End Another Thing. And so once again, Claude, thanks. I'll talk to you in a minute. Stephanie.